behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bowling.
And today we're going to talk about stance cars. And I'm actually kind of excited about talking about stance cars.
When you sent this idea, because this is one of the ideas that you suggested, Scott, when you sent this idea, I laughed. I knew we were in for something because one of the first things we had was a definition from Urban Dictionary.
Oh, yeah. You know what? The funny thing about the Urban Dictionary definitions that we find, online are that there's a positive spin to one of them. There's a distinctly negative view on the other one. The other one's kind of neutral, right? So there's like three relatively, I don't know, decent, I guess, examples or responses to what is a stance car.
Right. An Urban Dictionary is a not safe for work, unfamily friendly, user submitted dictionary.
And we'll talk about what we feel like stance cars are also.
Right. But it would just it'd be fun to read this. Scott, if you want, maybe, do you want to do the first definition?
The positive one?
Yeah.
Oh, why not? Okay. So this is what someone says about stance. They say that it's to adjust a car's camber, ride height, and spacing so that the sidewall of the tire sits flush as possible with the fender quarter panel. Now, a common trend and style impersonated on drift and show cars alike originated from the older Japanese domestic market cars. So you can kind of get an idea of what this means. You're adjusting the ride height, the spacing, and you're trying to get that wheel and tire as tight as you possibly can to the fender, right?
Yeah.
I think everybody can picture that in their mind. They've seen cars like this, right?
Right. And now if you feel like you haven't, then I guarantee you that over the space of the next few months or so, you're probably going to feel like you see them everywhere.
Sure, because you're looking for them, right?
Right.
All right. So Ben, why don't you hit us with what someone has for more of a negative view of stance cars, and then we'll get on to kind of, the nuts and bolts, the more of the facts, I guess, about stance cars.
Okay. Now, this is kind of a long one, so we're just going to read an excerpt and, we're going to censor it a little.
I'll see if there's anything I have to add to it.
Okay. Number two, stance. To destroy a car's handling abilities by having it lowered an excessive amount. Typically, the tires are tucked way inside the vehicle's fenders, but in order to have a heck of a flush stance and run the required excessively wide wheels with tires that are stretched just to fit into the wheels, the car has to have an excessive amount of negative camber. If you stand behind one of these cars, don't be surprised to see the rear tires looking like, and they showed kind of, bow-legged rear tires.
It looks like a teepee almost.
It looks like a teepee, yeah. The rear tires are probably bald on the inside, and the outside still looks brand new. It's probably only an inch of contact patch with the ground. The stance car can't even pull into a driveway without bottoming out and ripping the bumper off or cracking the vehicle's oil pan. Some are so extreme that you can't even turn the vehicle's steering wheel fully in one direction without the tires rubbing.
This brings up a lot of good points, though. But you know,
it does, but it's pretty negative.
It is. I mean, it starts out with to destroy a car's handling. So you know right away where this one's going, right? That's somebody that is a stance car hater, really. Uh-huh. We're going to talk later about someone who has had enough of stance car haters, and they wrote a blog post about it, and I think it was kind of funny.
Yeah.
But what it does is it brings up all the positive aspects of stance cars as well. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about both of those. So we'll get to that. But to start out with really strong language about, lowering it an excessive amount and to destroy a car suspension. I mean, that's pretty strong language.
Those are some fighting words.
Yeah, they are for some people. Other people say, yeah, you're right. That's exactly what they do. They destroy the car's handling by doing this. And in a way, that's kind of right. Now, there's extremes of every type of customization that people do to automobiles.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, some people have minor aero mods, while others go, the full Japanese custom van mod
right.
angle where they put giant shark fins on them and platforms look like they come off of a yacht,
right.
On the back end.
And maybe for a lot of people in, I guess, our area, the spoiler game.
Oh my gosh.
Huge.
Yes, it is. And I think it's, I think that's nationwide, if not worldwide.
I just shake my head sometimes because after a certain point, you're reaching diminishing returns, right?
And the thing is, some of these are knocked off when they go through the car wash. I mean, they're they're bolted on with stuff that, you get at, the local hardware store and maybe not so solid. I see some of them shaking in the wind, which is definitely not what they're supposed to be doing. So yeah, there's extremes to all of these different customizations, and some people have taken the stance car thing a little bit too far, I think. And I do want to talk about that because I have some pros and cons that I'd like to get to later.
Great.
But I think that, you know, we've made it clear already that this is a very polarizing subject. It's, you know, some people love it, some people hate it, and there are, believe it or not, a few people in between that are kind of like, well, I like this about it, but I don't like that about it. And I'm kind of one of those people.
Right. And there also, as we're going to find, I'm sure, when we get to some of the nuts and bolts of this, there are also some caveats you need to have in mind in case you decide to stance your car yourself or attempt it.
Definitely. Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about some of the technical aspects of this and, you know, what, you know, some of the different things that you have to consider with all this. So, first let's just talk about, you know, basically what is a stance car? Cause we've already kind of led into this and I think people can get a picture of what these are. It's the cars that are so lowered. I mean, lowering a car is one thing, Ben.
Right.
When you go another step beyond, when you take it down so that it's, what a lot of people call it slammed. So when a car is slammed as low as it possibly can go, it looks like it's scraping the ground as it drives.
And in some cases.
Some cases, you're exactly right. Yeah. They've removed some drivability from the vehicle in order to get this look in a lot of cases. But, you're adjusting a vehicle's, well, three different things, really. Mm-hmm. You're adjusting camber. Which is, you want an excessive, well, actually I shouldn't say excessive because that's another, dramatic term, but you're adjusting the vehicle's negative camber, which means that the wheel, if you look at it from the back end, it looks like the top edge of the rear wheels or front wheels also are tucked underneath the fender, but the lower edge are kind of slung out to the side, you know, as far as possible.
Right. Yeah.
So that you're riding on the inside edge of the tire.
And, that goes back to the negative definition that we first read when they talked about the, tires looking kind of teepee shaped or bow legged, you know?
Exactly right. And that's negative camber. And then there's also, you know, there's the other side, which is positive camber, which, you know, no one really does that for a stance car. That'd be kind of silly where the top edge of the wheel faces outward.
Yeah.
So it'd be angled, you know, inside. You'd be driving on the outside edge of the tire and that's not really what they're looking for. The other adjustment would be ride height. And a lot of people play around with the vehicle ride height. Now, a lot of people just drop their vehicle maybe an inch or two.
Sure.
If you want to slam the vehicle, I guess you want to do it like 3 or 4 inches.
Right.
The goal here is to get it lowered as much as possible so that the wheel arches are completely filled with the tire and wheel combination that you've got. And a lot of people kind of mess around with this. Some take it to more of an extreme than others do, that's for sure. And we see that on the streets around here occasionally. You know, some people have dropped right down to the ground, as we mentioned already, scraping the ground.
Yeah. And when we say that, we're not exaggerating. There are people who have dropped it and miscalculated their drop.
Sure.
And so you can see some rough customers here in Atlanta with that.
Wheels are rubbing against the fenders, things like that. And there's something later we can talk about that will prevent a little bit of that, but some little bit of tech. There's also wheel and tire spacing, which is part of this whole thing. So, you know, you adjust so that there's almost no space at all between the wheel and the tire itself and the fender. So it sits pretty much as flush as possible with the fender. I think you mentioned the term, you called it something else. I mean, we can say that word, Ben. We could say hella flush.
Oh, we can?
Yeah,
okay.
I think so. It's hella, they call it hella flush. It's a term that they like to throw around in the stance world, I guess. And, you know, we're not stance guys, so it sounds funny when we say it, but, that's a term that they use a lot. In fact, there are websites that are called, I think, hella flush.
Yeah. So as we go forward, I just want to plant this seed for any listeners out there. If you have, a stance car, if you have stanced your car yourself, then we'd love to hear more about it.
Oh, definitely, Ben. I'd love to see some photos of that or hear about them because I'm kind of in the camp of, and I think I've mentioned it already, that, you know, some things I really like, some things I don't like, and I can tell you specifically what I do and don't like, and we'll get to that. But I would love to see them because there's a story behind every vehicle.
Yeah.
And like, what are some of the pains that you've gone through in order to make your car look like that?
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point because I imagine everybody's experience, especially if you stance it yourself, is going to be a little different.
It's all pretty interesting. And I've had done this on a smaller scale with some of my other cars where I've lowered it, you know, gone somewhere and had someone put lowering springs on the vehicle, or I've tried it myself, you know, that kind of thing, and then changed the tire and wheel combinations to make them look a little different, you know, bigger wheels, bigger tires, that type of thing. And, you know, I've had to deal with problems of, you know, the tires rubbing when I turn the wheel the first time, which is a headache because, you know, you can't really go to a tire shop and have them fit a wheel. Or you used to not be able to do this. Maybe now you can.
Yeah.
But you can't really have them kind of try it out on the vehicle and see if it rubs when you turn it as far as you can to the left or right.
Just sort of, well, what's the old phrase? Caveat emptor?
Yeah, they weren't too keen on that idea. So I've had some tire issues in the past with, you know, let's say it's on that Festiva that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. Upgrading from a 12-inch rim, which it had before, to like a 13 or 14-inch or whatever. It sounds silly because it's really still small. But on a small vehicle like that, it makes a big difference. And, you know, people are dealing with tire widths and the sidewall height. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're trying to get the proper offset. And then in a custom, you know, in association with trying to lower it as well, which kind of messes around with the camber naturally. Mm-hmm. When you lower the vehicle, you automatically get just a bit of negative camber. And then they want to even increase that just a little bit more for that look.
Right.
That just starts to add problem upon problem. Sometimes. Other times it's, you know, I guess it's a good problem to have, really.
Well, before we go into the pros and cons, which we're both pretty excited about, I wanted to read an excerpt from Super Street Online that had a great, great article with a little bit of a smart aleck name, Everybody's Stance Now.
And, not bad.
That's for the 90s people out there. So there's this great thing here where the author says, while the exact history of stance now are seen as a bit gray, most of us agree the styling cue was borrowed from motorsport. And we heard earlier people saying motorsport, specifically Japanese cars.
Sure.
So it is true. They go on to say race engineers developed cars with a wider track, which helped produce less weight transfer, thus offering more cornering grip, right? So you go in with the wider wheels and tires, you increase that contact patch.
Sure, and the negative camber, that all plays into this, right?
Exactly. But this is one thing that the guy goes on to mention that I think a lot of people who might be on the fence about stancing their cars mm-hmm. should hear before they decide. What many of us fail to realize is that our cars weren't built the same way as these racers, even though that wide and slammed look carried over into the street.
Huh, you don't say.
Alongside their aggressive stance, race engineers developed reinforced hubs, stronger wheel bearings, new aero and stiffer suspension with redesigned geometry, all designed for that wide track and the heavy abuse.
None of which your streetcar has.
None of which your streetcar has unless you somehow did it yourself.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, with as popular as this trend is, they know what worked, what doesn't work already. So some people are doing this. Some people really are strengthening those hubs, and they're doing exactly what you talked about in that list, that short laundry list of kind of beefed up suspension parts.
Exactly.
Others do it in their garage.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fine. But you got to remember that your car is not exactly set up for something like it was for a race car that had a similar setup. Now, camber, you know, we talk about negative camber. That's great for, you know, hard cornering because, I mean, you
right.
can imagine that a vehicle, if you look at those tires and the way they're slanted out like that, you can imagine that car can corner excessively hard, you know, particularly if it's a banked corner, maybe. I mean, it seems like that would work even better. I'm sure there's, a lot of math that goes into the exact amount of camber that you need to have for certain tracks and certain conditions, certain surfaces. And I don't think that everybody that does this in their garage is really paying attention to everyday situations, like all the situations that they're going to be confronted with during
the weather, et cetera.
During a daily drive to work or whatever. You know, speed bumps, those are killers here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
I don't know how they deal with speed bumps. I've tried to watch stance cars leaving one of those caffeine and carburetors days.
Oh, yeah, octane.
The octane. Yeah, caffeine and octane or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I've tried to watch some of those stance cars that attend there sometimes. I've tried to watch them leaving and see how they, you know, handle the speed bumps. And most of them actually get over them pretty well. There's a little bit of scraping sometimes.
Yeah.
Other times, you know, there's no way and they avoid them by going a different route.
Right. The thing that we do have to say here, because I know it might sound a little bit negative toward this, the thing we do have to say is that it is possible, depending on what kind of car you have, it's completely possible for you to stance your car by yourself and be fine. You just need to be aware of what you're doing. Like, if you think of the suspension and the wheels and the balance, you think of it all as like this happy little nuclear family, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm, sure. And everything has to be just right.
Everything has to be just right. And when you change one variable, you just have to make sure that you alter the other variables accordingly.
And one thing that you may or may not think of, and this is one little kind of side note here, is the fenders. You
know,
you increase the tire size, you're going to adjust the camber, and you're going to try to tuck these giant tires underneath your vehicle. what you have to do is you have to roll the fenders. Now, you've got two options as far as I see. I mean, I've kind of looked this up, you know, in a cursory manner, I guess, online to find out what they do, because I was curious as to how they keep from rubbing those fenders. You'll never, you know, some of these photos, you'll never guess that they don't contact the fenders as they drive down the road. It looks like they're rubbing right where they're just parked even. Now, what you could do is you can either buy a, what they call a fender lip rolling tool, which sounds like a very fancy tool. It is a very fancy tool. You attach it to the hub and it's designed specifically for the idea of, you know, you're able to maximize your wheel well clearance, you know, so that you can tuck the widest wheel and tire combination as possible under your vehicle. And use this along with the heat gun so that you don't chip the paint as it, you know, you roll these, the fenders out. And what you're doing is you're just squishing the fender together, I guess. There's a lip on the underside of your fender. Yep. And you're rolling it under so it's not an obstruction anymore. It won't cut the tire if it comes into contact.
And your tires are already going to suffer from a much shorter lifespan.
Yes, that's true. And, you know, the other thing with this, this fender rolling tool that I mentioned is that that's about $200. Okay. So, you know.
That's not too bad.
I guess not. But your other option here, I said there were two options.
Yeah.
Baseball bat. You could do the same thing with a baseball bat. You have to look online and figure out the whole procedure how to do this, but use a heat gun again.
Uh-huh.
Same type of thing, but you simply roll a baseball bat underneath the fender with using just the lightest amount of pressure. You know what? I'm not even going to tell people how to do it because if I tell them, I don't want to be responsible for that. But, you know, look it up online, fender rolling with a baseball bat, and you'll see exactly what I mean.
It's not hitting your car with a baseball bat.
No, it's not that. It's much more gentle than that. And honestly, if done right, you'll never even know that somebody has done this.
Right. And you'll want to have some high quality suspension going on. Like if you stance your car, part of it is going to be changing out your suspension, especially if you have stock.
That's right. And you've got a couple of options there as well. And this is another little bit of a sidebar, I guess. There's what they call static suspension and there's bagged suspension. And the static suspension is kind of what you're accustomed to seeing underneath the vehicle. I mean, it's pretty typical, you know, springs on coilovers. Or you've got what's called a bag suspension, which is like a rubber adjustable suspension, I guess. It's, you know, the older air bladder type suspensions, you know, where you can adjust it with compressors and, you know, control switches inside. It's a little more complex. It's a lot more complex, a lot more expensive. But these are definitely two separate camps of people within the stance car community. And they, you know, they have, I don't know, they have words with each other about, you know, who's right, who's wrong. And, you know, trying to sway someone over from one side to the other isn't always so easy. In fact, there are some, sites that, you know, will hold forum type discussions on this thing. So, you know, one place you want to go, if you want to go to stanceworks.com.
I was just going to say them because they have a discussion going on, static versus bagged, where's your allegiance?
That's exactly the one I looked at as well. And, you know, it kind of gives you the ins and outs of what a static car is and, you know, and some of the pros and cons. And the static car, I guess, is more of the proven technology. And this is the age old, you know, I said coilovers and springs and lowering springs. And, you know, it's pretty much, something that you're accustomed to seeing or doing to your vehicle already. And the thing is with the static car, it's kind of what you see is what you get. You know, the owner is committed to that particular look because there's no adjustment. Once you bring the car down and it's at that height, that's the height you get. Now with a bagged car or an air ride car, as they like to call it sometimes, all you have to do is just press the buttons to adjust the ride height up or down. The drivability comes back to the vehicle because you're able to, negotiate the parking lots with the speed bumps.
Right.
You're able to pull into, you know, when you pull into a driveway and there's an immediate hill, and, you know, you rub the front fender or you rub the back fender as you come in, or the, you know, the tailpipe drags or whatever.
Yeah.
Not the situation with a bagged vehicle because all you do is just raise it a little bit and, you make the clearance. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's pros and cons of both. So, you know, people will argue one way or the other. It's kind of an endless argument. It just goes back and forth.
Yeah. There's such an interesting conversation on StanceWorks, you guys, and it really is worth the time checking out because I'm going down my list of things that I want to quote from this, Scott, and, you know, I have the full thing up here with us in the studio, and, I don't know. I guess the best thing you said is what you see is what you get, so.
And what it really boils down to, if you want to just boil this down to the absolute lowest limit here, or lowest level, is that you're trading functionality for style. And you decide what you're comfortable with, you know, so The lower you go, the less practical the car becomes for daily use, really.
I mean,
you know, but that may be not so important to you. Maybe it's just a show car. Maybe it's something you just want to play around
maybe
with.
Maybe it's your toy, huh?
Maybe you know that every road you drive is going to be perfectly smooth every day. You're not going to deal with any obstructions at all, right?
Right.
Because everybody knows exactly what to expect when they go on the road, right?
Yeah. Nothing has ever gone wrong in the history of driving.
No, there's never any surprises on the road. So, you know, if you're comfortable going completely right to the ground, go ahead and do it. But you're giving up some functionality. You're giving up maybe some comfort. You're giving up,
sure.
You know, the ability to carry more than one passenger with you, or any kind of cargo. You can't, yeah. you can't do that,
mm-hmm.
Because the tires will rub. So there's pros and cons to all this. And that kind of gets me to my list of pros and cons.
I would love to hear it. Noel, could we have some pros and cons music for Scott Benjamin?
All right, perfect, Noel. So I want everybody to beware, though, when I mention this. This is something you're probably going to look at you know, for the rest of your life, really. I mean, it's something that I mentioned to my dad with one of the vehicles that I had in the past, and it's something he had never really noticed even, and now he can't help but notice it. And this is on the – it's actually on the pro side. What I do like about stance cars is that it – you know, the wheels and tires completely fill the archway, you know, the arches of the vehicle.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The wheel arches. And – I think once you see a vehicle that has, you know, that perfect proportion of tire and wheel combination for the body style, and it fills those arches completely. I keep saying archways, but it's arches.
Yeah.
Completely. Once you see that, and then you see another vehicle that has a tire and wheel combination that is clearly far too small for that vehicle, and there's this giant gap between the
right.
top of the wheel, or the top of the tire, and then the body, you know, where the body begins.
Yeah.
It's something that you can't get out of your head ever again. It's like, you know, when you take a film class and you start looking at things like shadows and, you know, the very first image that you see and the very last thing that you see and, you know, things like that, all the foreshadowing type things
it's,
that they do.
It's kind of like when you – this is so horrible, man, but it reminds me a little bit of – I can't remember what film it was, but I saw someone on TV, just a normal-looking adult, right? And they
sure.
smiled and they had, like, baby teeth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so really big gums and really little teeth.
Sure.
It's disconcerting.
Yeah.
And I still kind of feel that way when I see somebody who's, for some reason, decided to put very, very small tires.
Yeah, and you know, if you look at any sketch of any concept vehicle that you've ever seen, really,
yeah.
they draw them with enormous wheel and tire combinations, and it's always, you know, they're always kind of tucked underneath.
Yeah, they're always kind of stance already.
They really are. I mean, they always fill the arches completely. There's almost no gap at all. And that's what the stance car guys are going for. Stance car guys and girls, because this
yeah.
is a popular trend with everybody, really. And, that kind of goes into the next thing that I want to mention. You know, that, far too many times you'll see that, you know, the production wheels and tires for the vehicle simply look too small for the vehicle when they come from the factory. Now, the concept vehicle that they show at the auto show, you know, has these, you know, a really nice set of wheels and tires, and it's a stanced vehicle, really, that you see on that platform. But then when the production version comes out, it's like, oh, what did they do to this thing? Because it looks like it's sitting on a tiny little spindly set of wheels.
Yeah.
That, you know, when you look at it from behind, it's like the body flares out, and then it cuts way back in for the wheels and tires. It does look kind of silly. But one of the things that I like about stance cars is, you know, aside from the lower ride height, because I like a vehicle to be pretty low.
Yeah.
I like it when they drop the vehicle straight down and the wheels and tires remain tucked under the fenders. I don't like them when they're outside of the fenders or flared
okay.
out with that excessive negative camber that we talked about.
Yeah.
You know, when the wheels are pointed skyward, I don't like that. I've seen cars that, you know, take this to an absolute extreme where they're doing it on purpose, where they're almost, it's almost as if the wheel and tire laying flat on the ground next
yeah,
to the car.
I know what you're saying. Those extreme angles. It's funny because I checked with Jalopnik as well, and they're not the biggest fans of stance cars. It's actually, they mentioned stance cars in an article called 10 car mods that will make people hate you.
But see, I'm a huge fan of the look when it's done in a way that, I don't know. There's a picture here in an article that's coming up that I want to refer you to, but, when it's done in a way that, you know, that excessive negative negative camber is not there. It's almost right. like the vehicle body has been brought straight down,
yeah.
and the wheels and tires are nice, just real wide, fat wheels, and it looks like it's hugging the ground. It looks. Like,
I like that too.
I love that look, and that yeah. looks like a that looks like a typical race car look to me. I mean, that has
yeah.
a sporty feel. But when you know they go a little bit more extreme with it, and, you know, there's that excessive negative camber. To me, I don't know. That just kind of loses the look. And that goes in the cons column, I guess. Is
yeah.
The excessive amount of negative camber. And I'm just not a huge fan of negative camber anyway. So I'm not just talking about the guys that mod this, in this way, and you know, the modern cars. I mean, some of the older race cars that I've seen, like even like older MGs.
Right.
Sometimes the ones with the wheels that are outside of the body of the vehicle, you know, the really old ones,
mm-hmm.
they have an excessive amount of negative camber, and I'm not a fan of that as well, even the little thin tires. And I know mm-hmm. why it's done. It's for cornering because it's
sure.
a tall, thin vehicle.
Makes sense.
But I just can't get over that look. I'm not a big fan of it.
So what I it's funny, my mom once told me that she thought a car's back axle was broken. She mm-hmm. was worried about somebody in our neighborhood where I grew up driving this car. She said, you know, he's going to kill himself.
A safety concern. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks like that. And truthfully, what we learned about, you know, the hubs being reinforced and all that, it might have been a safety concern. They're probably not as dangerous as we think as we get to this.
No, that guy had a lot more problems on his car.
The last thing that I want to mention here yeah. before we get to the article that I want to refer everybody
okay.
to
yeah.
Is stretched tires. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but on a car with excessive camber, where they're trying to really cram a wide tire and wheel combination under
right.
you know, roll the fenders and the whole bit, the tires are stretched to the point where they're trying to stretch a smaller tire on a bigger rim.
Yep.
And it really distorts the way the sidewall of the tire looks.
And you can see sometimes the wheel itself popping out a little bit from the tire. You know what I'm talking
That's
about?
That's right. It's almost like it's not contacting the bead correctly.
Yeah.
And I don't know how it holds air. I really don't in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, being stretched, I'm sure that's the trick to this whole thing. But I just don't like the way it distorts the sidewalls. And it almost looks spin. And think about this the next time you see one. If you look closely
okay.
at it from, you know, from the side, it almost has the appearance of like an Audi belly button. To me. It has that look, and I know it's a funny way to say it, but
that's so gross.
That's maybe the best way to say it.
I mean, that's not a bad way to say
well,
it.
Well, I thought about how am I going to describe this? You know, like
yeah.
how am I going to describe that weird look where the rim sits so far out from the edge of where the tire
yeah.
should be? It should be a little bit more flush than that. And some have a good balance. Others, they really, really push the limits of stretching that tire.
Yeah. Can I do some pros and cons?
Sure.
May I, before
yeah,
we head on?
Of course.
Okay, so we've listed quite a few of these even before we got to the cons. One con, no passengers in the back seat.
Very good.
Usually,
mm-hmm.
right? Now, you can have somebody riding shotgun with you, and you should be okay depending upon how you've managed your stance.
The stiffness of that suspension.
Right, yeah. Nothing heavy in your trunk.
Good point.
Which is also a shame, and that doesn't just mean, I mean, that could also be a big sound system that you can't have.
That's true.
And, let's see. Tires not lasting long.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Because one part of the tire wears out far earlier than the rest of it because you're on
right.
a very small contact patch.
Right? Yeah, that inside patch is going to wear out so much faster. which makes me think of like alignment. Rotation, how does that even work?
You know what? I bet tire guys, people that do alignments for a living, people that, you know,
yeah.
correctly pair tires and wheels to vehicles, you know,
yeah.
with you know, the factory setup, I guess. I bet this trend drives them crazy to see on the road.
You know, yeah. It's kind of weird, too, when you think about how it ultimately becomes like reading the rings on trees or looking at fingerprints. You know, if you work with tires mm-hmm. a lot, then you can tell so much about a tire just by glancing at it. So
sure.
they can probably identify tires that have been used on stance cars.
Oh, these guys are pros. Yeah.
Yeah. Another thing, we mentioned bad weather, but if you don't have fender lining, you know, what happens when you have to go through, rain or God forbid snow.
Sure, a little mud puddle on the side
yeah,
of the road.
Yeah.
It becomes a tremendous mess in the engine bay of your vehicle.
Right. And,
yeah, cause we didn't even mention that. They rip out the fender lining sometimes
yeah.
in order to gain clearance
mm-hmm.
for turning.
And now that I've said a bunch of negative things, let me say a positive thing. If your stance is cool and I'm sorry. When I say cool, I'm being so subjective, guys. It looks so fantastic, though, when you have that hella flush look and you don't have negative camber ruining it, these look like really amazing cars.
And a tiny, tiny bit of negative camber, don't get me wrong, a tiny, tiny bit of that is okay. I'm more upset with the one, and I'd say upset. I'm more, confounded, I guess, by the ones that, that go way to the extreme.
It just, for some reason, it looks like the car is waddling to me
it
or something.
Does, yeah, there's almost zero drivability to the thing.
Yeah.
So that's, that just seems to me over the top. And Ben, there's someone else who has, some problem with people that
yeah.
I'll say that people that hate on stance cars, because that's the title of this guy's blog post. Now, it's from a place called Zen Garage. Mm-hmm. And it's written by a guy named Justin Fox. And Justin admits to, downing a couple of shots of his favorite liqueur, before he wrote this, this blog post. But, you know, he says something about, he says, I've got a few reasons why, I'm tired of people hating on stance cars, because he really likes them. And there's a lot of good reasons to really like these. So he's got three different reasons here. And I think maybe the first one that we should mention here is that it's how cars are meant to look. I mean, it's how the designers design them.
Right.
It's how the concept vehicle is shown. It's how it's how the wheel arches are shaped and sized a certain way, and they're meant to accommodate a certain size wheel and tire package, but they back it down because, you know, of these drivability concerns. But if every road is perfectly smooth, if every road, you know, was exactly right, and, you know, in the perfect world, I guess, this is the way our cars would and could look.
Yeah, and he makes a really good point here, because first off, what he's saying is pretty much true.
Sure.
Secondly, he goes on to say that he is irritated with people who instantly just say stance cars are dangerous.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great point too, because stance cars are not necessarily dangerous any time that you are modifying your vehicle. First off, never forget, it's your vehicle.
Of course.
So do what you will with it. And Scott, you and I have seen some people do some pretty crazy stuff.
I've got something to say about that at the end of this.
Okay.
But before I go on to his number two reason, I want to point this out. If you've gone to that article, if you're looking at that article with us as we cover it, it's Zen Garage, and it's called "So Over People Hating on Stance Cars."
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at that image of the green Porsche that's in that article. That is a perfect example of what I think a stance car should look like, and what I really appreciate about stance vehicles, because that is exactly it. It sits flush. It's not there's not overly negative camber on this thing. It's beautiful. I think to me, that's a perfect stance vehicle.
Right. That's a very good point. What he's talking about when he says the idea of stance cars are dangerous, I think he's irritated by the assumption people make that all stances are created equally bad or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
But they're not, because he makes a really good point that there's a good balance you can reach between performance and looks. You can still have that cornering, and you can still have the looks. His rule of thumb His rule of thumb means having a one-finger gap between the tire and the wheel arch.
Very clever, Ben. Rule of thumb.
Sorry.
Yeah, well, see,
I stopped and just chuckled to myself.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, you worked it out well there.
Right, well.
The other thing, you know what? We just hit on one thing that I think we need to talk about.
What's that?
You're giving up performance, you're giving up drivability a lot of times for this look, but it doesn't always have to be that way. If you dial it in just right,
mm-hmm.
You can get the best of both worlds.
You can get
that
get
look.
That happy family.
You can get that look of that green Porsche that I'm looking at, because that's awesome right there. But
that's the best looking one.
I think it is in this article. That's my opinion. But, he also gives an example here, a second example, a second reason is that it's nothing new. You know, people have been playing around with this, this negative camber and, you know, the wide tire and wheel combinations and wheel flares and all that since the early 1970s, if not maybe a little before, and we just haven't seen photos of it really, but it's definitely nothing new. So it's something that's, 45 years old maybe youngest maybe, because there could be earlier examples of it that we just don't even know about.
Right. And, he also talks about the concept car sketches, which is a point you had already made.
Yeah.
He makes another really big point that I think we need to go ahead and issue out to all the people who are irritated by stance cars. There's absolutely no way stance cars would ever take over the road, barring some sort of miracle material for tires.
And he says that, what we're talking about here overall, I mean, the whole argument here is that, no one really has a problem with a car that's lowered a little bit. I don't think a lot of people really even notice when a car is lowered.
I mean, it can mess up your resale value. That's like literally the only con, and I'm thinking of lowriders.
I can kind of spot a lowered car. If somebody's lowered a car like maybe an inch or even two, it's noticeable and it looks good. I think it looks really good to me.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're really arguing about here is like maybe that last inch. When people decide to slam their car, to really go like to the extreme with it and roll the fenders and tuck it underneath and all that, that last inch is what people are really getting up in arms about, It's funny that people are so upset about that, but it's something that, it's just a matter of preference. And that comes into, I guess, my opinion on this whole thing.
Because
mine is that, and this is like the last thing that I really want to say about this, other than I would like to point people to some sites before we leave.
We found some really great stuff.
Yeah, some really neat. So the last thing that I kind of want to say about this whole thing is that, my opinion about this is that, hey, everybody's got their own thing. There's the hot rodders. There's the import tuner guys, the guys that love motorcycles only. People that are into rat rods. There's, whatever it happens to be, custom vans, anything.
Sure.
Everybody's got their own thing. And the stance car guys and girls have their own thing. And this is what they do. They like it a lot. I don't think that there's any reason for us to, dwell on this and say, what you're doing is wrong. You're ruining that car. There's no need to really say that.
Who are we, like the car taste police?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I just see it as like live and let live, Ben. I mean, why really bother with being upset over somebody doing this to their own vehicle if they want to? That's the look they want. I'm personally in the camp that says I'm just excited to see people that are also excited about cars and do with it what they want. I'm happy with the people that do the, we mentioned the Japanese custom vans.
Oh yeah, Decatura trucks too.
Have at it, man, because that's your thing and you're doing it great. You're having a lot of fun with that. The custom vans here in the States, whatever, motorcycles, rat rods, all of it. I love it all. I think if you want to do something like that, please have at it, have fun, and that's your thing. I'm just excited to see people excited about cars.
That's kind of beautiful, man. And again, it goes back to the old cliche, well, if you're not hurting anybody.
It's true.
And you're not hurting anybody. Plus, I feel pretty much the same way that you do in this regard, Scott. Another thing I would just reiterate is, it is your car. You can do whatever you want. There isn't a homeowners association. Some people own houses and they want to build something different on their house. And then they have a homeowners association that won't let them. Your car doesn't have that. Now you might be in a car club that says, sorry, Speed Racer, this is unacceptable.
Yeah. Or this show is not for you because these are unfinished hot rods or restoration rods or whatever. And maybe that show isn't for you or whatever. But you may find yourself, discriminated against in that way. But really, I mean, again, everybody's got their own thing. And there are stance car shows out there as well. So, attend some of those. That's the way to get around all this.
Mm-hmm.
Meet up with people in your area that do this because you know that there are others that do. I've got one, a neighbor that's not far from me that has I think it's an old Volkswagen Rabbit that is completely lowered. It's got a little bit of negative camber on it, but it's got this really excessively wide tire and wheel combination. And the thing sits, it looks like about an inch and a half off the ground. It's really a cool looking car.
Yeah.
And it's kind of rough. It's not a show car by any means, but he looks like he has a ball with it. It looks like a lot of fun. And I'm always kind of jealous. I'd love to ride in that car or have time to kind of go and talk to him about it.
Yeah.
But he's just far enough away that it would be a little bit uncomfortable for me to show up at his doorstep and say, hey, I saw your car, what's going on here? So I haven't ever approached him, but maybe I should.
Yeah, you should. We should get you one of those badges that, FBI agents flash, but it should just say car stuff.
Well, I'd love to look at it and see what he's done because it's really an interesting vehicle. And that's the only one that's really close to me that I could maybe have access to.
Under the car and in the wheel well.
Exactly.
And
I bet he would be okay with that. That's the way a lot of car guys are. Car guys and girls, they're friendly. They want to show you what they've done. They're proud of it.
Now, Scott, before we go out with the links, I have a proposition. I was thinking that instead of doing listener mail today, mm-hmm. we could do a little what I'd like to call breaking news.
All right. That's a great idea, Ben.
Okay, so on our first installment of Breaking News, we have a really cool story here. Scott, did you hear that a vintage car road rally kicked off in Maine?
I did not.
Over 9 days, they left on the 21st. Over 9 days, they're going to be covering 2,100 miles on the way to Florida.
2,100 miles. That's a long way in a vintage vehicle.
Yeah. So it's called the Great Race. They're departing at timed intervals from, Ogunquit, traveling through New Hampshire, Vermont to Lowell, Mass. And, they're antique cars. So it's going to take them 9 days to get to Florida. That's still booking it.
The Great Race.
It's the Great Race.
This has been run many times, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You know, I'm going to tell you something. I've got an uncle or something like this. You know, I got a vague memory of this happening. He was traveling in this with one of his classic cars.
Wow.
And like a great uncle or something. And I was very, very young when it happened, but they made it into town. And I know it was a big deal for us to go and see him in his car at some hotel parking lot where the whole show had stopped. And I was really young. It was, I want to say it was in the late 70s, maybe.
Okay. Yeah.
And, there's some unusual stories. I'm going to have to dig into this now because you've mentioned it.
It'd be fun to do a podcast on the Great Race.
How cool. And this is happening this week, right?
This is happening now.
Really
so
cool.
Yeah. There are some other cars in here. There are some famous participants. Humpy Wheeler, the NASCAR promoter, he's there in a 53 Hudson Hornet, painted to look like Doc Hudson from Cars.
Oh, cool.
Pixar movie. 1916 Studebaker Racer, 1932 Auburn Special Speedster. That's not the only Auburn. There's also 35 Cabriolet, 1936 Bentley. They're including a replica of one of your favorites, Scott, the General Lee.
Oh, that's cool.
Also racing, but that's a replica.
And that is happening this week. So, you know, if you downloaded this week and it's a brand new broadcast, you know, check it out and see if there's a location near you that you can go see these cars when they do stop, because they're like works of art, a lot of these. I mean, it's like a traveling museum, really.
Oh, that's a great way to say it. So, that's our breaking news. Maybe we'll do this segment in the future as things pop up. You know what I mean?
That sounds great. I mean, what a cool race. I mean, I'm gonna definitely dig into this again. I'm gonna try to find out what was going on, because there's some unusual stories with what happened.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, there's always road stories with these things. So I'll try to find some of the family secrets, I guess. all right. So we wanted to talk about some sites where you can go and see some, you know, great stance car photos, some desktop wallpaper, things like that. Information about events, some of the tech, you know, maybe some of the lifestyle that goes along with stance cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I found just a couple. Of course, there's stanceworks.com. There's also one that is called the Hella Flush blog,
right,
which is kind of cool. It's got some information, but there's also stanceseverything.com.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one that it piqued my interest, Ben, and it was called iHeartStance.com.
Oh.
And I don't know if you saw that one or not. And I thought, well, that's a weird name. You know, what guy is going to really do that? It's not a guy. It's a female-run blog site.
Right.
And let me tell you, fellas, you might want to check out the About page on this one just to see what's going on there. But this is a female-run stance car blog site where she travels around the world and kind of, mm-hmm, you know, showcases different stance cars. And it's a pretty neat perspective, I think. So it's another site that you can go to and get some great desktop shots, some wallpaper. I myself have used, the wallpaper, you know, desktop wallpaper, here at How Stuff Works for, I don't know, seems like more than a year I've had stance vehicles of different types on my desktop.
That's true.
So I guess I'm a closet fan of stance cars and I have been for a long time, but until we talked about them, I didn't realize that I've got kind of an affinity for certain types of stance cars.
Your new nickname should be Scott the Stance Benjamin.
Maybe, yeah. I just hadn't realized it. And then looking back at, you know, some of the saved images I've got, I've got a lot of them.
Yeah. You know what? Now that you play it back, because for listeners to get the sense of where we sit, you and I sit in pretty close together, but we're usually our backs are facing each other.
Nearly back to back.
Nearly back to back, like Forrest and Bubba in Nam. Now that I notice, when we turn around and we're talking to each other, you have often had some sort of stance car.
Yeah, it's kind of a weird thing that, you know, it's kind of snuck up on me,
I guess. That's weird, yeah.
Yeah, do they just make for beautiful desktop images? And I'll tell you, and the reason I'm saying go to these sites is because they just have that quality, that beautiful high-res quality. They're wonderful photos. I mean, they really are. If you're a motorsports fan, just a car fan, some of these sites have got amazing photos. And I don't know what kind of camera they're using or anything like that, but I would love to figure it out. I know there are tricks to it as well. You know, there's some After Effects going on there. But these are beautiful shots, and it's stuff that's worthy of framing, really.
Now, we know that there are some people who, honest to goodness, hate stance cars. And that is fine to have your own opinion, completely subjective thing.
Perfectly okay.
Right. If you really hate stance cars, I'd love to get an email from you about why you hate them so much. If you really love them, so much so that you made your own or you dropped your car a couple inches even, we'd love to hear from that too. You can find us at carstuffshow.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. Let's see, anything else, Scott?
Yeah, we've also got a blog.
Oh, that's right.
That's on carstuffshow.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But, one thing, we haven't really told people in a while to go there and check it out because we were updating that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a wonderful place to go and get our podcast as well. So I know a lot of them go to iTunes to pick it up.
Oh, yeah, but you only get like the first 200, 300 or something?
Yeah, 200 or 300, which, believe it or not, that's less than half of what we've got out there because we've been doing it for about 8 years now.
Yeah.
Wait, 8 years?
Six years.
Oh, I'm jumping the gun. 6 years, I think, is about it. But we've got somewhere in the neighborhood of it's nearing 600 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So there's quite a bit there. And we've also got email. I mean, they can contact us via email and just ask us any question they want, right?
Right. That's right. Our address is
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.